My name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 28th of August 2009 and the time is 8:17 p.m. Please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
My name is Leon Chambers. I'm 40 and I'm from Staplehurst in Kent.
And have you travelled to London especially today for your hour?
Yes, I have. Yep.
And has coming to the square and seeing the plinth in action been what you imagined it would be?
Yeah, I popped down a few weeks ago actually when I was in London meeting someone for lunch, and I came out and sort of sat on the edge of the fountain and watched the experience just so I had a little idea of what was in store, you know.
And how does it feel being on the other side of it now that you're about to go up?
I'm quite relaxed about it really. I'm just, the only thing that's bothering me is the weather, you know. The only thing, if it rains, is going to be a bit of a problem, but besides that, I'm looking forward to it.
And can you remember how you first heard about the project?
I read about it in the Standard, I think. I read about it, saw it, and thought, oh, that looks like a fun idea. And I literally sat there on the train, logged in, entered my details, and thought nothing more of it. So when I got the email to say you've been selected, I kind of thought, oh, I wasn't sure that was going to happen. I wasn't really, you know, wasn't really imagining I was going to be selected. But yes, it's great. Be good. It's great to be part of something like this and sort of say, yeah, I was one of the people on the plinth.
And were you aware of Anthony Gormley
as well? Yeah, with a couple of the pieces that he'd done. I mean, The Angel of the North and the others, which I can't actually remember the names of. But yeah, absolutely.
And are you able to describe what the opportunity means to you to be one of the 2,400 people going up?
I think it's just like being part of just being part of something is rather nice. I mean, it's like, it's a really weird thing to relate it to. When the European Football Championships were here in 1996, and I went to all the England games, and it was when Three Lions was being sung by everyone, and there was a really euphoric feeling. And it's great to now know, you know, that many years later, that I was there, I was part of it, I was one of the crowd. You know, I was there when Gascoigne scored and all this sort of stuff. And I just sort of think it's another thing like that, that, you know, the fourth plinth has, you know, been evolving over the last few years with people doing various different installations and whatever. And it's just really nice to think that I'm part of one of those things.
And will you tell us what you'll be doing for the hour?
Well, I'm a filmmaker. I make short films, or have so far, aiming to make a feature film. And so I thought it had to be connected with that. Normally I'd have a film crew. I don't tend to actually touch the camera myself. But no, as I'm up there on my own, I've got a video camera. And I'm going to, I'll video what I see from the plinth. I'm just going to capture the surroundings.
And did you always know you would do something around film?
Yeah, I think it was going to be the only option, really, because that's what I do. And it kind of felt relevant to do something, something connected with my life, really.
And is there a theme or an idea around what you're hoping to capture?
Excuse me. No, not at all. I just want to try and get the view from the plinth. And it might well be, which I'm sure it will be, that some people will see the fact that I've got a camera up there and start performing, and if so, I'll just film them. So they'll play completely into my hands. And I'm hoping with everything, you know, obviously it's quite dark now, but everything's quite lit up, that I'll just be able to get some shots of the surrounding areas. And just really hoping the rain isn't too bad. No, not at all, really. I've no idea. I'll just see what happens.
Have you got any hopes or fears about what might happen up there?
I do. Well, being a Friday night at the bank holiday, between 9 and 10 in the evening, I'm assuming there could be a collection of drunk people that have decided to come and abuse me, as it were. But I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I don't really have a problem with height, so that doesn't really bother me. I'm just looking forward to it, really.
And what will you do with the footage that you get?
I think the idea is to make it into just a very short film. The whole hours of material I'll condense into sort of 5-10 minutes and put it on my website, is the idea. www.thirdlightfilms.co.uk.
And could you tell me a little bit more about your background in filmmaking? Is this something you've always done?
Well, my background's in sound. I started out 20 years ago, or over 20 years ago, as a sound engineer. Mainly doing radio drama for the BBC, Radio 3, Radio 4. And I was asked to work on a short film doing the sound. as the sound recordist and the sound designer. And I came away not thinking I want to be a sound recordist, but thinking I could have made a better film than this. So I got two or three friends together and with a sort of semi-professional video camera, and we shot a two-minute film, which then won an award, and it, you know, did quite well. So I kind of, that was to basically see if I could do it. And then since then, I've made another four films. And the last one has done very well. It's screened at 30 festivals worldwide and won three awards. So I'm now making another film in 2 weeks' time, as it happens, which is a much bigger budget affair, with a few well-known faces, and shooting on 35mm. We're going for it, really. And my aim with this is really to try and win some big festivals and try and compete for the short film Oscar. I was always interested in film, but it was purely the case that I just enjoyed the experience of the whole thing, and I could visualize the whole thing, and I kind of felt I could have come up with something else. And I talked about wanting to make a film beforehand, and it really made me want to go and do it. And it actually all stemmed from the point that I always hate this thing where you get people saying, "Oh, I'm writing a novel." And you go, "Oh, have you? How much have you written?" "Oh, no, I haven't started yet." And I kind of think, well, if you haven't started it, you haven't written it. So I was very aware that I was talking about I was going to make a film, but I hadn't made anything yet. So it was really a case of I either had to make a film or shut up. So I went out and made a two-minute film just to actually shut myself up, really.
And what kinds of films have you made?
Well, out of the films I've made, a couple of them have been comedies. The other two have been dramas. The last one, Stolen Youth, was a drama about a 12-year-old criminal. And the one I'm just about to make is called The Long Lonely Walk, and it's about a bomb disposal expert. It's an expression they use, the long walk or the lonely walk, is the point where they leave the control point and walk up to the bomb. And the 10-minute film has three parallel stories. It's a man doing exactly that. And I've just had the email this morning that we have the cooperation of the Royal Logistic Corps, the Army, and they're going to be supplying everything and be on set, which is amazing. And we're going to screen it at the Royal Logistics Museum, fingers crossed. There are two other stories. There's an elderly woman going down a hospital corridor who has to make the final decision about her husband who's on a life support machine. And there is a 12-year-old boy who crosses the playground to ask out a girl for the first time. So that's what the film's about. I won't tell you any more than that because it will spoil it.
And you mentioned as well that your aim is to make a feature film. Have you got something in mind for that, plans for that?
I do. The mistake I made with the last film is I made Stolen Youth. It did very well. And people kept asking me, "Have you got a feature? Have you got a feature?" Because any producers don't want to make short films. Short films don't make money. They're showreel pieces. They're calling cards. People want to make feature films because feature films can potentially make lots of money. Even one that doesn't do very well over a period of 10 to 15 years can recoup its money. And I didn't have a script. And that was my huge mistake, was to have all that attention and not have something I could say, I want to make this film. I had an idea for a film, but not a script. I've always written my short films, but I don't see myself as a writer, and I struggle to write. I can write a 10-minute film quite comfortably. But I've recently discovered a guy that I found via a short film that he'd written, which I really like, and is going to be the next short film I make. And he's only in his early or mid-20s, and he's a really good writer. And I'm talking to him, and he's actually going to write the feature film. So it will be story by me and him and script by him. So the plan is to finish the short film I'm just about to film, make his short film as well, which is going to be a much lower budget affair, but it's really partly because he's never had a film made, and I want to make his film as partly as in return for his effort on the feature film. I will then have two short films going around the festivals, both I've directed, one I've written, one he's written, and then a feature film script in my back pocket. And if and when they do as well as I hope, and people say, "Where's the feature film?" I can pull this script out and say, "It's here."
And is that the role you normally take? Does it change depending on the film? Are you sometimes a writer, sometimes a director, sometimes a producer? How does that work?
I'm always the director, and so far I've always been the writer. So this film that James has written, the short film that I'm going to make, it's the first time I've directed someone else's work. Having said that, I have been a director for hire for a couple of projects. And I generally producing them because it's been my money a lot of the time. And I'm self-employed. I can afford to give up time to put in the effort and the time to produce it. And it's very hard to ask other people when you're not paying them to give up that time. When it comes to the feature film, no way am I producing it. And I really wish I wasn't producing the film I'm just about to make, because my stress levels are quite high. So it's quite lovely and relaxed thinking about standing on a plinth for an hour. It's a real adrenaline buzz. I just get a real buzz when it works. When you've got an idea in your head and you're visualizing this story and it comes to life in front of you, and you get people performing these ideas that you've come up with, and the crew all working towards telling that story, it's a real adrenaline buzz. And I've never been someone who's dabbled in drugs or anything. I don't need it. Get me on a film set directing a film and it's a natural high. Being self-employed, being someone who's worked in sound and film, it kind of is my life, really. I obviously socialise with friends a lot and everything. I've played in bands, I've played guitar in bands. I used to act with a lot of amateur theatre groups, but I kind of got to a point where I just became frustrated by not being directed properly. So I couldn't do it anymore because the natural director in me wanted to take over and make sure it was happening, because people just let you get on with it. It is very much a big part of my life, and it has to be when you're doing something as passionately like this. It is a form of art, and when anything you do as a form of art has to come from something really deep. And I think if you're that committed to it and that absorbed in it, it does rather take over your life, but that's the way it is.
And what are some of the other things that are important to you in your life?
My friends and family, I guess. The people who surround me, really. I've got a lot of very close friends, very close to my family and to my parents and stuff. So, yeah,
no. And is there anyone here tonight with you?
I have some friends here. A friend of mine has turned up with her two children, and various other people have threatened to appear. My parents have threatened to turn up. So, and various relatives that I've not seen for years, who I probably won't even recognise. They're probably waving at me and going, I don't know who you are. So I don't know. We'll see. Could be. It's been quite interesting, actually. Everyone's sort of, it's part of my personality, really, that people have not been at all surprised that I'm the sort of person who would put my name forward to do something like this. And my friends aren't surprised by the fact that I've, chosen to do it. And the fact I've been selected, it always seems to be the case. If I do something like this, I'm bound to be selected. That's what they all think anyway. So, it's all a bit of fun, really. I think it's great. Not really arts projects, no. A lot of film, with the films and stuff. I've also been to lots of film festivals and done all the circuits with those and stuff. So, yeah, no, not really art projects, but more the film.
And since hearing that you first had a place and looking back to how you felt at that point and coming up to this point now before going up on the plinth, what has all of that been like for you?
When I first heard, I was really excited, and I had all these really ambitious plans. But what with the film happening, everything else, it's actually been a really nice distraction from doing the film. And I've just been really relaxed about it and looking forward to it.
And if you think back to your profile on the website, you would have been asked to put three words that describe you.
Yeah.
Do you remember what they were, or if not, how would you describe yourself?
I can remember one of them was creative and one of them was big. And I can't remember what the third one was. I don't know.
Would you stand by those words? Or would you say anything now?
Don't know.
And by going up on the plinth tonight, what is the impact you hope to have on people watching?
I don't really know, really. I suppose I don't know if it's about having an impact. I think it's just quite a selfish thing from my point of view of wanting to be up there. I do have a bit of an ego, and I'm quite happy to, to perform and be seen and stuff. So, yeah, it's just nice to be involved in something. So, no, I haven't really thought of that side of it. It's dreadful, really, isn't it?
Do you see it as a performance, or do you see it as something for you and yourself?
I think it is a performance in the fact that, I assume my understanding of the whole concept is even if someone's just stood there for an hour doing nothing, it is a performance in its own self. So my idea is to be up there performing as, you know, a filmmaker. The fact that what the quality of the footage will be like that I come away with is actually quite irrelevant to me. It's about me being seen up there with my camera and with my director's chair.
And aside from the footage that you're going to have when you come down from the plinth, what would you like to have gained from the experience?
I don't know. Just being part of it.
Okay, well, great. Thank you very
much. No problem.